Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Let's get together for a look back in time on Pop Star Talk. Hi, Mary Jane Popp here with my producer, of course, Kenneth Segura Knoll. Great to be with you, Ken, on this edition of Pop Star Talk because we have an interview with one of the nicest and most giving actresses that I've ever had the privilege to share the microphone. I'm so sad to say that she recently passed on, Loretta Swit. Naturally, we all knew her best from her iconic TV series, MASH, Major Margaret Houlihan, from the 4077 MASH. But she was so much more. She had strength, complexity, humanity, and a real fighter for animal rights and women's rights and gender equality. But Ken, I bet you saw every episode of MASH till it ended, February 28th, 1983. I know I did.
Oh, I was a big fan of MASH, and she elevated her character to almost be the star of the show. Every show, as the shows went along, they started writing her character to be much more in the central theme of the show, if you notice.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that at the first, it was sort of like a nurse. She was there doing her job, and then she slowly evolved into the emotions and her divorce and other feelings. And, of course, her relationship with Major Frank Burns, of course. But it was amazing how she developed, and also so much more of her than most people will ever know, her behind the scenes. And I mean, she was an animal activist, and gender equality was on top of her list and women's rights. But so let's get to it. Let's get to know this special lady in her own words.
I tell you, that iconic theme, when you hear it, you know exactly what television series that was. But you know, sometimes we remember a personality for a special performance. Now, my guest today has that distinction. Yes, we loved her as Hot Lips Houlihan on TV's iconic MASH TV series, of course. But Loretta Swit is so much more. She's an accomplished artist, and her love for animals has brought her tons of accolades. Her career has crossed television and film and stage. But her book, Switheart, chronicles her artwork, and wait till you hear who it's going to help. Loretta Swit. Hi, Loretta. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Well, I am so glad that we had the opportunity to get back together again because...
Me too.
You have been such a talent that is finally coming out that people didn't even know about. You really started your art at age 6. I mean, that's incredible.
That's true. I know. Well, the thing is, it was more like sketching and doodles at that point. You know, it wasn't what's in the book now, which is 65 watercolors that
wow.
That I was never trained to do. But
that's called God-given talent. That's what that's called.
Absolutely, I accept that, and I'm grateful for it.
So 65 images. How many? Well, I was going to say how many paintings have you done, but you've probably done a ton. Don't even know, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh sure. Yeah. I'm already working on a second edition.
Wow.
So,
I don't.
Yeah.
Now, how did you pick out these 65? I mean, like I said, you have a ton. How did you pick these special ones?
Well, a lot of them are my number one favorites. You know, it's like it's tough. Like having children, they all have stories. They all, at any rate, I had a lot of help. I have a wonderful publisher who's my friend now, Mies Hora, and Mies helped me select. And a few times we lock horns about something. Oh, no, I want you to put in my elephant. I don't want to put in your elephant in this book. We're going to do this instead, you know. So, but we always manage to rise above it all and come out just fine, friend, you know.
That's fantastic.
But he was, with his experience, I just trusted him to help me make the right selection.
Now, the proceeds from Sweetheart is going to go to benefit and protect animals on our planet, right?
That is correct. It goes into my foundation, which is called the Sweetheart Animal Alliance Foundation. And what it is a kind of a way station. We get donations and we channel it out to those needy shelters, or the little mom and pop shelters that are hobbling along on their own, or wherever we can help.
Yeah.
So that's what the fund is for. The alliance part of the name is the operative word. Want to ally everyone.
You have been dedicated to the needs of animals for, it's just incredible. How did it all start for you?
I don't know. I've always loved animals, and I've always been, I guess, an activist without knowing. And I think I must have thought, doesn't everybody?
Oh.
And then as an adult, I realized everybody didn't. So I thought, well, somebody has to.
Bless
so
your
did.
Heart. That's fantastic. Now, do you have animals?
I do. Of course I do. Not as many as I was able to have in California. I had a herd of dogs in California.
No kidding.
Yeah, I did. I had 6 dogs.
Wow.
But I know I shouldn't really say that because it's breaking the law. But there you have it.
They're not going to come after Loretta Swit because you take care of your
animals. Not anymore. Not anymore. I have a little Yorkshire Terrier now, a rescue.
Aww.
And her name is Munchkin.
Aw. Oh, sweet.
She's cute. She is. And I have 2 cats. Everybody is on medication. Everybody's very old.
I love you.
But they've had a wonderful, wonderful life with me. And, I've lived with and cared for and lost many an animal.
Yeah.
And you take it in your stride and you live for the moment that you have them, that you can love them and care for them and let them go.
I have to share something with you. We're on our 9th dog now. My husband and I have been married 46 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
But this is our 9th dog. She's a Samoyed puppy. Well, she's not a puppy anymore, but she's 19 months old, but still like a puppy. But what? We've never forgotten any of them. And we have, this may sound really weird to you, but I can't help it. I got to share this. We've kept the ashes from all our dogs. And we
I have all of mine.
Really?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, bless your heart. I tell that to some people and they go, are you serious? I said, yes, we keep them. They're all still with us. We have a special cabinet that, we have them in their little redwood places. And, and the vet actually make these ceramic things with their paw prints and their name.
Mm-hmm.
And, periodically we talk about them and say, do you remember this and remember that?
Oh,
each one was so different.
I'm sure you have photographs of them everywhere.
I've got to send you. My husband put together a collage of all the dogs that's hanging on our wall, from the number one to our present one.
That's nice.
And it's so nice just to look there and say, oh, I remember, when we used to do such and such with which one, how can we explain to people who don't have animals how precious and what they can give us?
Well, It's not like preaching to the choir, but you know what? You don't have to convert everybody. I mean, I think at the very least, if they could appreciate how much we get from our animal companions. I was witness what happened at the motion picture home. We had 3 working animals there every week, and just to watch what happened to an elderly person, bedridden, just to watch what happened to his or her face when that animal jumped on the bed and curled up in that lap or kissed that face. I mean, it's the AMA has said it's the best medicine that there ever was, and we know that love is the best medicine.
You bet. You bet.
And animals give us the best kind of love. They give us unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful saying that I ascribe to. I would like to become the human being that my animal thinks I am.
No.
I mean, they worship us, they adore us, and what more could you ask? You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful life. People live longer who have animals.
Yep.
It's a proven fact. I mean, I can go on specifically. We have finally given an animal the highest honor we have, which is the Congressional Medal of Honor, for saving the life of his soldier companion.
Wow.
He was, you know, canine corps.
Mm-hmm.
And when his soldier was captured, he signaled him, he hand-signaled him to run away and come back, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back, the soldier was in a shack with two other prisoners, I think, or one other prisoner. And he had a guard, which the animal, the dog attacked and killed. And his body weight shoved through the door. I think he was a shepherd mix,
mm-hmm.
Shepherd Rottweiler mix. Well, anyway, he threw his body weight into the door, opened the shack, untied his companion, and in turn untied the other man, and the three of them just ran off.
Wow.
And this is, it's just like one little story in unimaginable situations and stories where dogs have been. I've seen them in action. At 9/11, I've seen them in training in Ojai at the search rescue farm where they have a training center. They're deployed all over the world. I've seen footage of animals digging human beings out of the rubble of an earthquake or a tsunami. Or, you know, I mean, if we took a moment, we would understand how bonded we are to our animal companions. We would get in deeper touch with our own animal position. We are two-legged animals.
Yeah.
And, what I just, it would be nice to, at the very least, recognize what they give us. You know, when AIDS came to us, reared its ugly head.
Yep.
And nobody wanted to go near the AIDS victims.
Mm.
They didn't want to go near those patients because they didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only drop of love that those poor people got was from animals. And they would, again, hop on the laps and kiss them and give them love, which, you know, is, that's all you need, isn't it? But anyway, they're there for us, and unhappily we don't return that value.
Doesn't it amaze you?
But some of us do. Some of us try, and we've made a lot of progress. I don't like to dwell on the negative. I look back. I've been an activist all my life. I look back and I can see the great progress that has been made. Certainly women are very much aware now of the fact that it takes 80 animals to create one coat.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them dying indiscriminately with the leg hole traps, which I guess is something that's still used in certain areas. But domestic animals have been trapped in the leg hold.
Mm-hmm.
But I think little by little, when people become aware, I have faith that they deliver. I have faith in the spirituality of the people of our planet. I really think that goodness overrides everything. The only problem, the big issue is that unhappily human animals are still shooting at each other.
Yeah.
Still killing each other.
Yeah.
So for us to ask them to take a moment to care about a sick, hurting animal or something is a tough road. But it's okay. Our numbers are growing. Just the other day, I made a new friend. She was walking three dogs, all of them ancient. She had rescued them. One was 17, one was 14, and one was 18.
Oh, my gosh.
The 18-year-old was just so adorable. He's blind. He can't hear. And he's just prancing along, happy as can be, because he's had love all his life, you know. So,
you know,
there
what?
You have it.
We can change. And this is a personal story, because my father was a furrier. He used to design for coats for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer way back when, back in the 40s. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it as I was growing up. I mean, they used to design coats for me as a little 5-6-year-old.
Oh,
now, I won't do anything like that. I've changed because people like
grown.
You
have evolved. You have learned. I mean, it's consciousness raising.
Yes.
There's a mantra that everybody should be aware of. You only know what you know.
Right.
If you don't know better, if you don't know that what I just said, 80 animals died to make one coat.
Right.
You learn that and you go into a fur shop or a department store and you see the hundreds of coats and you do the math, you go, wait a minute.
Right.
This is wrong.
That's right.
I can't do this. I don't want to do this. Then you take a look at the substitutes that we've come up with over the years. The beautiful, beautiful fake fur. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just as warm. They don't need storage, which is saving.
Big time.
they're not expensive. And they don't smell in the rain, which real fur has a tendency to do. I mean, I can just go on and give a list of the attributes, and there is no downside. And, of course, the most important thing is you've saved the lives of all those animals.
I got to tell you, this happened to me 2 years ago. I was wearing one of those. And I was at an event, and this lady came up to me and just right into my face, how can you wear a coat from an animal?
Good.
And I'm going, wait a minute. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
You know? So I had to explain to her, no, please, it's not. You know?
Yeah, I know. They're just wonderful. They look real.
They are.
If that's your thing, if that's what you want to do, that's it's a remarkable replacement. So
now,
I mean, there's something everybody can be doing, you know.
And it doesn't have, if everybody did a little, you know, it doesn't have to be everybody out there as much as you've done, but just a little bit into the right direction, we would change the world. I mean, seriously.
All it takes is lighting one candle, but if everybody did that, you know what a brightness.
Yes.
I mean, we would have a blinding light.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Light. How do you keep,
candle.
You've always had a positive attitude. How do you keep that positive attitude going? Because you've had ups and downs in your life just like everybody else. You know, you're a star.
Sure,
yeah, but,
sure.
You know, it hasn't all been, you know, bed of roses, right?
No, not by a long shot.
And you know what? She is the blinding light that can change so much. And Ken, I don't know if you know, she was not always Loretta Swit, S-W-I-T.
Mm-hmm.
Her original name was, and I don't think I pronounce it right, it was S-Z-W-E-D. She's Polish.
Yes.
And it was Zwed, I guess, is something like that. But obviously, I can understand why they would change it. It makes it a lot easier with Swit. But this, you know, she's just such a real person, you know?
Well, I have an interesting thing about her name. Well, not her name, well, her potential name.
Okay.
She met her husband on MASH, right? Do you know what her husband's last name is?
Houlihan.
Houlihan.
Yep. Oh, I don't. Yeah, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
It was a love thing on MASH, and then I guess it turned into a real love thing.
But she could have been Loretta Houlihan.
Yeah.
Played Margaret Houlihan.
I wonder, I'm going to have to look up some information on that to see if that had anything to do. I don't think she knew him when she first started.
No, no, because they were already doing the show.
Ah, gotcha.
She met him on the show.
And of course, she passed on May 30th. She's 87, and understand, still, you know, going strong. I thought it was kind of interesting, too. At one time, do you remember the television series Cagney and Lacey?
Oh, yes, yes.
It was very popular. But in 1981, Loretta actually played the role of Christine Cagney in the movie pilot for the television series Cagney and Lacey. But she was so tied up with MASH, contractually, that she couldn't do it. So Meg Foster portrayed Cagney for the first six episodes. And then, of course, Sharon Gless took over the role. So it's amazing some of the stories behind the stories. Those are the ones that I like. I'm nosy. I'm curious about people. But that was a series everybody watched. I mean, they're still watching. It's still in reruns.
Oh, yeah, I still watch. I still watch MASH.
And you learn something at every one of them. And we talked about her evolution, and she really did. She really got into the women's rights and gender equality and all those kinds of things, you know, the glass ceiling thing, all those.
Well, you know, when I walk out to our backyard, we have a hot tub. Mm-hmm. I usually put my bathrobe up, my on and my cowboy hat and grab a cocktail. So I've been told I look like the character in MASH.
Oh, okay. Ellen Alda.
Ellen Alda.
Oh, that's too funny. Yeah, I mean, talking to these people and finding out what they were really like, she kind of brought to MASH and to the viewers. She was a feminist, but feminist with femininity. You know, and even in her style, her clothing and everything. Mm-hmm. Yes, she had to wear the kind of drab army uniforms, but she added a little bit of panache to all that stuff. So it was, yeah, I'm still watching it because it had actually was said it was a comedy, but it was so much more than a comedy. It got into issues and beliefs and dealing with other people and how to deal with other people. There was a very special time. Very, very special. I don't think there'll ever be anything like MASH. I don't think so.
Yeah. And in developing TV shows, some pilots and stuff that we've developed or are developing, I remember an executive at ABC telling me, you know, remember that every episode has to have a lesson in the comedy realm. And you look at MASH, you look at, you know, the TV sitcoms of that time, Happy Days, all of them, every show had a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that really is lacking in today's TV shows, the sitcoms. I keep thinking, well, when the executives told me that, how come they don't tell the other producers that? But
yeah,
they had some real racist type characters, but there was a lesson in the show
and everything,
and it was emphasized by how racist they were or sexist they were. But you know,
yeah.
And everybody trying to be so politically correct in the TV shows, they're missing an opportunity to teach a lesson.
And with her thing with the animal rights, too,
right.
She actually had written into her contracts no cruelty, you know, from products that were used in the series, nothing. She would not do anything fur. It didn't make any difference if they wanted her to wear something. It couldn't be from real animals. I mean, she really followed through. She believed in what she did and made sure she lived it the way she said.
Right. Well, in MASH, they're, you know, watch for the lesson learned. And it's usually her character that's carrying the message.
Mm-hmm. She volunteered at shelters and wildlife rehab places, and did undercover operations against puppy mills. Mm-hmm. She testified in Congress on animal protection and legislation. Like I said, nothing could be worn on the set that had to do with fur or cruelty-free products they used. I mean, she wrote these into her contract. She said, that's it. And she lived what she professed.
Well, that explains why most of the characters were usually in their underwear.
And there you go. That's true. That's very true. Hey, let's get back to it, because with her successes and her positive attitude, which I think she always did have, I bet she'd still had some ups and downs, and at times it couldn't have been a bed of roses.
And it shouldn't be. I mean, life should be something that has its ups and downs, so that we can. I mean, if everything was just one big pink glow, how could you continue to appreciate that?
Yeah,
it's when you have to struggle or survive, or I mean, I'm sure this has happened to you. You've had a bad cold and you're just sort of brushing it off, but oh, you finally took to bed and took some medicine, and when you felt better, you said, "Oh my God, I didn't realize how
bad
it
was."
Yeah. Right, exactly. It's very much the same kind of thing. I feel, though, you know, everybody knows what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But in essence, that is the fact.
Yeah,
it does
true.
Make you stronger, and it does make you work harder, blah blah blah, whatever. So I think that's good about life, that mm-hmm. we find ways to get around stumbling blocks or jump over them or whatever. That's what creates our characters.
I got to ask you, you're of Polish descent, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool, because I was born and raised in the South Chicago, and I was raised
so
in...
You were surrounded by my countrymen.
You bet I was. My brother went to St. Stanislaus grade school, and he learned the Lord's Prayer in Polish, and we're Romanian.
Yes, you want me to say it, I will. Yes, I same thing. So, in fact, you have caught me the day before I take off for Buffalo to be the Grand Marshal in the Pulaski Day Parade.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, how
third
fun.
Third time around. This is my third year being the Grand Marshal.
By the way, how the heck do you stay looking so good? I mean, serious. Do you exercise? I mean, do you take supplements? What? You look so good.
Thanks. I'm glad you think so. I do diligence. You know, I exercise every day. In addition to that, I walk everywhere, and sometimes 5-6 miles a day is nothing. Just walking, doing chores, in fact, but I walk rather than ride or drive or bus or what have you. I am a vegan. I do believe wholeheartedly in a plant-based food. I think it's a good, healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, well, I can't eat animals because they're my friends, not my food.
Yeah.
But I do feel that animal fats are not something our human body, our human animal body, can live with. I don't believe that. But I don't think it's good for us. Let me put it that way.
Right.
So I'm a vegan. I exercise. I'm very happy.
That's me.
I think that's a mindset.
Yep.
I don't mean I don't get depressed over things, but it's up to you. I have the greatest respect. My mind is my most favorite part of my body. I think if you have control of your mind and respect your mind, you can do almost anything. You know, you can bring almost anything about. Work hard at it and bring it about. Mindset is everything. It sometimes will help you through diseases or surgeries. Or if your mind is saying you're going to get through this, I'm telling you, you will.
Yeah, you're right.
I really think the mind is very powerful.
Do you have a philosophy that guides your life?
Oh, gee. I think some of the things I've said, I have noticed I've said them quite often in my life, and that is that I do believe in goodness. I believe in the goodness of people. I think that overall, I believe in that spirit in human beings, and it will rise and conquer evil. I do believe that. So I believe in the goodness of the human spirit. I believe in our resilience. I believe in the mind over everything. And they used to say mind over matter, but I do believe that is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we can bring things about, make good things happen.
Yeah.
This is, of course, a challenge with our current administration, and the danger our democracy is in at the moment. I feel that this administration has given us a new norm, and it is not acceptable. And I see more often than not people saying this is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I don't do that. I have great hopes for this new director that they're vetting.
Mm-hmm.
I loved everything he said. Before he does something illegal, he will resign.
Right.
And that's my kind of person. You know, this is what I meant about believing in the goodness of people. I think it's the strongest force on the planet, goodness. It will always win. I would say if I had to try to pin a philosophy down, I think I would have to say that for myself. I read something really funny the other day, uh-huh. Something Eleanor Roosevelt said. She said, never accept no from a person who doesn't have the authority to say yes.
I like that.
Oh, man, I love that woman. I just love that woman to pieces. And I love doing her on stage. She is an inspiration to all of us, but mostly to women. I mean, she carved out, broke through. She carved out a place.
There was no glass ceiling for her. No.
No.
It didn't exist.
She, I don't think feminist was even a word.
No.
or feminism. I mean, she just barreled through doing her thing, and she was just absolutely an amazing woman.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
You know what?
But I thought that was awfully funny.
She should be in the dictionary. When you look up the word feminism, it should have her picture there. So,
yes.
What makes Loretta Swit happy?
Working everything.
Good for you.
Being alive, first of all.
I like that.
I love that I'm alive and healthy and running around doing things. I love, I'm a people person.
Mm-hmm.
I have a treasury of lovely friends, good friends, wonderful, wonderful people in my life. And my work, I love my work. I'm happy at my work, whether I'm on stage or in front of a camera or painting or just doing a fundraiser for my charities, my shelters, or every act can be loaded with kindness and goodness, and that is, it self-perpetuates. It fills you. It's like a fountain.
Yeah.
Every kindness, every goodness, every piece that you put out there triple folds and comes right back at you. I mean, it's just, I send clothing to a shelter in Los Angeles. I send my discards, my clothing that I've outgrown or worn or too much or whatever, to our thrift shop in St. Augustine.
Mm.
I'm on the board of Ayla's Acres. It's a no-kill rescue shelter.
Wow.
And we have a thrift shop. We rented a store. It was more of an old house that we've turned into a thrift shop.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you walk in, different rooms of the house have different articles. So we have a men's room and a ladies' shop, or we have kitchenware, houseware, what, you know, rugs.
Oh, cool.
And there is a sweet little room that's called Loretta's Loft.
I like that.
It has some jewelry, some paintings, lots of clothing, some luggage, all bric-a-brac, and it's Loretta's Loft. And people will come to the thrift store to see what's in Loretta's Loft lately, you know, what's the new stuff. And all that money goes straight to Ayla's Acres. Why? Because it's run by volunteers. All we do is pay the rent. Everything else is for Ayla's Acres.
How fantastic. You know what? You are a very special lady. You really are.
Well, thanks. No. I mean, thank you. I'm just,
well, you're an inspiration. I know you're humble. I know you're modest and everything, but you are an inspiration to everyone. If they all had your attitude, if you're, you know, dedicate yourself to something. That's what this life is all about. You've got to be dedicated to something.
Well, you need meaning in your life.
Yes.
Otherwise, why do it? I mean,
exactly.
if all the meaning you have in your life is to go out to dinner and have a lot of drinks and dance and come home, I mean, it's fun. But if it's all you're doing, it's kind of not very satisfying after
a
while. So I think the most important thing is to find meaning in your life, to have a really superlative reason
to be here.
Be here.
Yeah. Loretta, as always, every time we talk, it runs out of time. I don't know where it goes. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're the best.
You're a pleasure. And so are you. Good night.
Okay. Good night, darling. Take
care. Bye-bye for now.
And don't forget, everybody, Sweetheart, got to get the book. In the meantime, live simply, laugh often, love deeply.
What a lady, Ken. I did that interview in 2017. And she did so much more than MASH, of course. She did a lot of television. The Love Boat, Win or Lose, Password, Gunsmoke, Match Game, Pyramid, The Muppets Show, Hollywood Squares, and go on and on and on. But MASH, of course, will always be part of her legacy, and Hot Lips, Major Houlihan, of course. It was hard to believe that in 1983, February 28th, which was the last episode, this was back in 1983. Not 2025, 125 million people watched that final episode.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. And back at that time, I mean, no one ever had that kind of viewership. It was just, and she was so, so sweet. I mean, when I asked her, this is off air, but I said, hey, what's the favorite part of your body? I know we were talking about taking care of ourselves and everything. And she said, the mind, your mind, that counts for everything. I mean, what more can you ask for in an interview? I did a couple of interviews with her, but that was the latest one that I did. I just wish I could have talked to her again. I really do mean that, because, again, when I said she was special, I really meant it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was very special. I mean, again, you know, the interviews bring out the real person. You know, all our interviews, these people just relax, and you hear who they are, what they really believe in, and feels very good to know that people are good people.
They are.
And she's another example of just a good person.
Yep. And that's all I ever wanted from the very beginning when I started doing interviews. Started on television, then radio, back and forth, television and radio. But always, I just want to know them. Who are you? And you tell me about, I care about you. Mm. You know what I mean? And when you care about someone, they do open up to you. And it's very special. And you're very special to be with me too, Ken.
Oh, I'm honored to be here.
Okay.
What an opportunity I have to be part of this.
Well.
Because in many ways, we're creating a history right here.
Yeah.
History about history.
That's so true. Okay, folks, that's it for this edition of Pop Star Talk. But I can tell you, I will never forget that loving and caring Polish girl, little Polish girl, that never forgot about her background and fought in the end for animal rights, gender equality, and so much more with such grace. And her talents will live on
for future generations to enjoy. Rest in peace, dear Loretta, and keep the fight going for what you believe. And Ken and I want to thank you for joining us on Pop Star Talk. Till next time, please remember, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and always, always dare to dream.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.